Take your Bibles and join me this evening as we go to 1 Timothy. We're going to actually be looking at a number of different passages of Scripture on a topical type of level tonight. Because I want to address the topic that I think is fitting in relationship to the Goldens. Address the topic of longevity in ministry. Longevity in ministry. I was shocked when a while back, I don't know if I heard it or read it, but whichever the case may have been, came to the understanding that according to statistics that only 1 in 10 pastors will retire as pastors. In other words, only 1 in 10 of those who begin in pastoral ministry will finish their careers as pastors. The other 9 out of 10 will drop out for one reason or another along the way. That shocked me. Perhaps that's shocking to you as well, just to think of that. And then on top of it, I also read that due at least in part to stress and demands of pastoral ministry, the average pastorate only lasts 3.6 years. So the average pastoral ministry, the average church, they have that pastor for only 3.6 years. First Baptist Church has been blessed in terms of longevity when you think about the previous two pastors, especially, and how God blessed in great ways in terms of that longevity. But by God's grace, the Goldens have really shattered those statistics. The question I want to ask you, though, tonight, and I want us to think about tonight, is this. How do you get from that young 29-year-old couple that we saw pictures of this morning in the PowerPoint presentation, starting that very first pastorate, to the mature veteran pastor, looking back with hearts overwhelmed with joy after serving the Lord for 50 faithful and fruitful years? How do you get from 29 to 79 in such a wonderful way? Well, the obvious answer is the Lord, right? God's the one who did it. And so they would say only by God's grace. And we would all say a hearty amen to that in agreement. But from a human perspective, what choices or even values did God use to enable the Goldens to reach this milestone? And so tonight I want to look at 5 keys to longevity in ministry. And I mentioned this morning I want to do it kind of in a golden fashion, which means that I ought to be brief. I say ought to. It doesn't mean I will be. I'll try. Okay. But then I also have noticed over the years that Pastor Golden has the ability to preach a 5, 7, 9, maybe even 10-point message and still fit it in the allotted amount of time. I don't know how he does that, but I'm going to at least make some meager attempt to do so. So tonight I want us to look at 5 different keys to longevity in ministry. And we'll do this in a topical sense. We'll bounce around a little bit in different texts of Scripture, and he's the master of doing that as well. But the first one I want us to notice is found here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, where the Bible says this. Paul the Apostle is reflecting, and he says this in 1 Timothy 12. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." You see, it's God who calls pastors and others in ministry. It's God who calls them to ministry. Pastoring is not a job. Pastoring is not a career choice. It's not something where Craig Golden at age 28 said, you know what, or age 23 for that matter, said, you know what, I think I want to be a pastor. It wasn't a matter of I want to quit working in the aircraft factory, I want to be a pastor, I want to choose a different career. No, God chose him to serve in ministry. That's true throughout the Scriptures. The Bible teaches a call to ministry. I still remember one of my older deacons at Holmes Baptist Church, and I've mentioned his name a number of times because he was a classic source of wisdom. His name is Jerry Hinton. And one time we were, I think it was in the context of a deacon's meeting even, and one of the younger deacons said something along the lines, in reference to a previous pastor, he said something along the lines to, well, when we hired Pastor so-and-so. And Jerry Hinton could not let that go for a second. Jerry was also one of those guys, if he thought it, he typically said it. Okay, and he had enough gravitas age-wise to just be able to say to a young deacon something along these lines. We didn't hire him. God called him. A sort of rebuke to that young deacon. And that is so true. It's scriptural. It's not a matter of hiring a pastor. It's a matter of God calling him. And the Goldens have served the Lord so faithfully and so well because they've had a clear sense of the call of God. After serving in the military. Pastor Golden was working at the Schweitzer Aircraft Factory near where he had grown up, and he sensed God's call to ministry. He and Shirley were very involved in the ministry there at Pine Valley Baptist Church, serving alongside of Pastor Dwayne Brown that I mentioned this morning. And they were only married for about 6 months at the time when Pastor Craig said to Shirley, "I think God is calling me to pastoral ministry." My understanding is she was a little bit shocked at that because she had already graduated from Bible college. And so immediately she began to think, oh, boy, our lives are going to change. We're going to go and I'm going to have to work to put him through. All those types of things went through her mind, I'm sure. But he sensed the call of God to ministry and could not ignore that call. He could not ignore that call. And so they headed off to Bible college. And it's the call of God that oftentimes gets a person through the challenging times of pastoral ministry. It was mentioned by his son this morning, a quote that I've heard and repeated and had repeated to me a number of times over the years. And that quote was, "Never doubt in the dark what God has revealed in the light." And what God reveals in the light that he's called you to pastoral ministry, we're to never doubt that when things are difficult, when things are challenging. And I'm sure that's made a difference in the Golden's ministry over the years, the sense of the call of God. I think it was just yesterday that he and I were talking and in reflection and talking about ministry and things like this, he said something to this effect. He said, "There are two things that I've never considered. Two things that I've never considered. I've never considered getting a divorce, and I've never considered quitting the ministry." Why is that true? Because of a sense of the necessity to obey God and what his word teaches him. And so a clear sense of the call of God, I think, is one of the keys to longevity in ministry. Secondly, a consistent commitment to the Word of God. You are familiar with passages of Scripture like 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that speaks of the inspiration of the Lord. We won't go into all the details of those two verses of Scripture, but 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 puts it this way. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And then later on in the Bible, in the book of 2 Peter, we learn not only of the inerrancy, the inspiration, and the inerrancy of Scripture, but in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we learn of the sufficiency of the Word of God, the sufficiency of Scripture, where the Bible says this in 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And an absolute confidence in the inerrancy and the sufficiency of the Word of God makes all of the difference. You see, God used the Goldens to shepherd three churches that he pastored, and those churches were built on sound Bible teaching and preaching. You know, Pastor Golden has a wonderful personality, but those churches were not built on his personality. He has an amazing sense of humor, but those churches weren't built on his sense of humor. He is probably the most organized person I've ever met who plans farther ahead than is even imaginable. I mean, he will give me the plan for next year's senior trips at least a year in advance. And he has it all typed out and ready to go. But those churches weren't built on his great organizational skills. Those churches weren't built on his ability to have fun and plan all kinds of amazing fun times and games. Those churches were built on the Bible, because it's the Bible that changes people's lives. It's the Bible that changes people's lives. I remember when we were considering, I was looking for a new assistant pastor in this area of senior ministries and pastoral care. One of the things that in my mind I had to have is I wanted somebody that wanted to preach as well. I wanted somebody that was gifted in the area of preaching. And so I began to check his references. And this probably was one of those, well, no duh, he's the state representative of the Empire State of Baptist Churches. You know, surely he's a great preacher. Yet I wanted to make sure. And so I checked his references. And again, they assured me. And then I listened to a CD. I heard him for the very first time on a CD where he'd preached in a church. And immediately I knew that question was answered, that he would be an assistant pastor, that when I was gone or needed somebody else to fill in for me, I could just say, "Pastor Golden, would you preach?" And he has done so in such a capable manner here at First Baptist Church. You know firsthand his practical and creative Bible preaching and Bible teaching. I mean, how many pastors are willing to reenact what it would have been like to have been like Mordecai How many pastors would take on that type of a challenge and do that type of a sermon first person like he has done more than once here at First Baptist? You know, ask anyone who attends the largest Sunday school class at First Baptist Church, and they would agree that he is an excellent Bible teacher. So how does that then relate to longevity in ministry? Well, it's God's word that does the work. One of the easiest ways to burn out in ministry is to believe that the lie that the spiritual success of your ministry all depends on you, the pastor. In reality, it depends on God and his work in lives through his word. And so he has had a consistent commitment to the word of God. Thirdly, I think another key is that he's had a cheerful attitude about the work of God. A cheerful attitude about the work of God. Proverbs says a lot about a cheerful attitude. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22 especially, I want to draw your attention to, where the Bible puts it this way in Proverbs 17 verse 22. It says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Earlier in chapter 15 verse 13, the Bible says this in relationship to a cheerful heart. It says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. You know, if you've been around Pastor Golden at all, that he's a cheerful person. And one of the ways that he expresses his cheerfulness is through whistling. We hear him. You almost always know where he is in the office area by his whistle. And I think I've told him this. I know I've told my wife this. But when I think of whistling, I think of it as a joy release valve. In other words, there's just so much joy inside of there. He has to let it go somehow. And by whistling, he's expressing that cheerful attitude about the work of God. You know, his ability to make everything fun and his lighthearted spirit and his great sense of humor are a demonstration of that cheerful attitude about the work of God. Sadly, some pastors aren't very cheerful. I've been around a few of those types of gloomy, grumpy pastors. And some of them allowed the stress of ministry and perhaps the criticisms of people in the church, maybe even their own unrealized ministry hopes, to sour their attitudes. I like the perspective that someone said in relationship to the work of the ministry, and I don't know who it was original with, but they said this in relationship to attitude and attitude toward the work of God. They said, it's okay to get tired from the work of the ministry, but we should never get tired of the work of the ministry. We should never get tired of the work of the ministry. Many a pastor has allowed their initial ministry idealism to fade into cynicism and discouragement and even at times despair. I don't know if it made the regular media sources, but I know it was a topic of discussion among us pastors that a couple, in a couple of different instances here recently, there have been pastors that have committed suicide, and some of them in sizable churches, in moments of despair and discouragement and perhaps unrealized dreams, without a spirit of hope and joy, they've taken their own lives. And I'm sure that Pastor Golden has faced his share of ministry disappointments, yet his confidence in the sovereignty and the goodness of God has enabled him to rejoice in spite of any difficult circumstances. That cheerful attitude makes a big difference in terms of finishing well, finishing strong. And so a cheerful attitude. Fourthly, though, I want to also mention the importance of a constant companion, in life for God. The Bible says a lot about the importance of a good wife, especially in the book, again, of Proverbs. Proverbs 18:22 says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Proverbs chapter 12 in verse 4 puts it this way. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 14 states it in this way. Proverbs 19:14. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. I said it this morning as I was giving her flowers, and I think it's valuable for me to say again tonight that the Goldens would have never reached this 50-year milestone had it not also been for Shirley. Had it not also been for her as that kind of wife that is described here in Scripture and her commitment to the Lord. If she had not been as all in terms of commitment to Christ, they would not have reached this milestone. So you realize they do everything together. My wife even said that. I can't really remember seeing just Pastor Golden. Now, he does come to the office without her, okay? So I do see him without her. But so much of the time, I mean, when it's Monday and they're setting up for Tuesday's luncheon, guess who's here? It's both Craig and Shirley. When they're ready to go on a trip, guess who it is? It's both Craig and Shirley. When they're even planning for those things, it's both Craig and Shirley. And she's always at his side, faithful companion, faithful servant to the Lord. And so, Shirley, you are to be commended as much as your husband for reaching this wonderful milestone today of 50 years. Constant companion in life for God. And then finally, a careful balance. I think the fifth key is a careful balance as stewards of God. 1 Corinthians 4:2 puts it this way. It says that a steward must be found faithful. What's required in a steward? That he must be found faithful. And that you understand the biblical concept of stewardship is that of management, where you're given something that belongs to somebody else and you're to manage what somebody else gives to you. And that is, of course, a very common description of us as followers of the Lord, that he has given so many things to us that we are to manage, that we are to steward and to steward well. Unfortunately, not every pastor has struck this kind of a good balance in terms of stewardship. Perhaps you're familiar with the old cliche, I would rather burn out for God than rust out. Unfortunately, a lot of pastors have preached that and they've done that. In other words, they burned out rather than rusting out, but they burned out before God wanted them to burn out. It's a horrible cliche, really. Biblically, the balance is to finish strong. You know, if you were to take that saying and completely change it, it should say something like this. I would rather pace myself. I would rather plan well. I would rather be a good steward of my time and my resources and my health in such a way that I could serve the Lord for as long as possible and be effective for him as long as possible so that I might finish strong. As he reminds us on a regular basis based on 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And so one of the temptations, even in the latter years of life and ministry, is to coast. The Goldens have not coasted. I heard a pastor say recently, a pastor in his mid-60s, he said something to this effect. He said, I don't want to be a pastor who retires but doesn't bother to tell his church that he has. Unfortunately, there are some pastors who reach that age of life and they begin to take it easy and they begin to coast. This pastor was saying that he didn't want to be one of those pastors. And of course, the Goldens have not been a coasting ministry couple. I still remember our initial conversation about the prospect of serving the Lord here at First Baptist Church. And I said something like this. I said, so what are the plans now that you're retiring? Are you going to go sip tea under a palm tree in Florida? I think is what I said, something like that, a little tongue in cheek. And he answered something along these lines. He said something along these lines. He said, you know, I want to slow down a little, but I don't want to ever stop serving the Lord. I don't want to stop serving the Lord. You see, he wanted to and wants to run at a sustainable pace for a man in his 70s. Now, I'm not so sure that your pace is altogether sustainable, because you run at a pretty fast pace. For someone who's, quote unquote, semi-retired, that term is used rather lightly, I think, in some ways here. But the point is this, is that life is a marathon. And I would contend that pastoral ministry life is an Ironman triathlon. And so Pastor Golden has sought to balance the demands of pastoral ministry with so many other things so that he could be a good steward and serve the Lord well till he takes him home. I think there are three keys to that. Number one is this: never neglect your time with the Lord. Never neglect the source of all your strength in ministry. It's not you, it's not him, it's the Lord. And that time with God, there is no substitute for that time with the Lord. Secondly, be a good steward of the temple of God. You understand, the Bible describes our bodies as the temple of God. And on a number of occasions, I've both observed and heard from Pastor Golden something in relationship to that. You saw pictures of a little bit chubbier version of Pastor Golden. He has shared with us that it was on purpose that he lost weight. He intentionally lost weight. And the reason he intentionally lost weight was to be able to be a better steward of the body that God has given to him so that he could better serve the Lord. And so he lost a considerable amount of weight. He still, to my knowledge, still walks how many miles a day, brother? 3. He says it mundanely like it's no big deal, right? He walks, still regularly walks 3 miles a day. Our staff, we typically try to go out together as pastors every other week. So twice a month we try to go out for lunch after our staff meeting. And most of us sit there with a relatively unhealthy meal. And most of the time, what do you order, Pastor Golden? A salad. Yeah, that's what we think about it too, brother. You know, as we're chowing down on our cheeseburger and he's sitting there with his salad. But he does it on purpose as a way to maintain good weight and a way to maintain good health. And if you were to ask him why, I think he'd say something along these lines, that God, that good health enables you to serve the Lord at maximum capacity. It's not about good health just for the sake of good health. But good health enables you to serve the Lord at maximum capacity. I remember Dr. Anderson mentioning this not that long ago in reference to a missionary. And the missionary had shared how he viewed his own health as an extension of the stewardship that he had a responsibility back to his supporting churches for. In other words, he saw his taking care of himself and being as healthy and as strong as he could be physically so that he could serve the Lord to the maximum spiritually as an extension of the fact that all these churches had invested financially in putting him on the mission field. And so he better take care of himself so he could serve the Lord to the best of his ability, both physically in order to serve the Lord spiritually as an act of stewardship. And that struck me as a mindset really that all of us ought to have. It's not about good health for the sake of looking nice. It's not about good health for our own sake, but maintaining good health for the Lord's sake, to be able to serve him well. Good health enables you to serve God longer and better. It's no wonder that you're the Energizer Bunny at 79. And then the third thing is he always encourages us, take time to rest. Take time to rest. Of course, we know that's biblical. The very idea of Sabbath is that, to rest and to reflect on the Lord. And so he always encourages us to take our day off and use your vacation. As a matter of fact, a while back we were discussing how much vacation the assistant pastors received, and he talked to me about the fact that he, and this wasn't for himself, this was for the other assistant pastors, he talked to me about the fact that he thought that the assistant pastors needed more vacation time. And he explained that those in ministry don't get weekends off. You know, somebody in the workaday world can take Friday off and Monday off, burn only 2 vacation days and have a nice 4-day and all. And a number of things. And just the fact that they needed more vacation time because they needed rest. And so we changed our vacation policy in relationship to that because of that encouragement. And so taking a day off helps you keep margins in your life and get the appropriate rest so that you can serve the Lord to the best of your ability because you're rested and you can serve him as a good steward. Stewarding your body and your time wisely enables you to serve the Lord better and longer. And so careful balance as stewards of God, I think, is the fifth key to serving God well and to longevity in ministry. So in relationship to all these ideas, how does that fit with you? Number one, in review and application, only do that which you sense God wants you to do. This isn't just for those that are pastors or those that are missionaries or serving in what we typically call vocational ministry. It's for all of us there ought to be a sense of the call of God. If you're teaching Sunday school, there ought to be a sense of that's what God wants me to do. If you are serving as an usher, there ought to be a sense of that's what God wants me to do. If you're serving in some capacity at First Baptist Church, there ought to be a sense of this is what God wants me to do. Then I'm going to be faithful to that calling that God has given me to do that. Secondly, build your life and your ministry on God's word. It's the one thing that will outlast us is the word of God. So build your life and ministry on God's word. Thirdly, don't let the disappointments and the difficulties of life rob you of the joy of serving the Lord. Fourthly, make your spouse your priority as your life companion and fellow servant of the Lord. And then finally, be a good steward, especially of your health and your time, so that you can serve God to the best of your ability as long as possible. Keys to longevity in ministry, not just pastoral ministry, but all ministry as we seek to serve the Lord together. Would you pray with me? Father, how grateful we are tonight for the opportunity this whole day to share the word, but also reflect on your hand in the lives of the Goldens. I pray that each one of us would want to finish well, that each one of us would want to do our best for you, and that each one of us would someday want to hear from you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.